Welcome, investors, to the Absolute Return Podcast, your source for stock market analysis, global macro musings, and hedge fund investment strategies. Your hosts, Julian Klimochko and Michael Kesslering, aim to bring you the knowledge and analysis you need to become a more intelligent and wealthier investor. This episode is brought to you by Accelerate Financial Technologies. Accelerate, because performance matters. Find out more at accelerateshares.com.
Welcome, podcast listeners, to episode 101 of the Absolute Return Podcast. I am Julian Klimochko.
And I'm Mike Kesslering.
Today is November 27th, 2020, winding down the month of November, which is certainly a notable one. Some wild moves, some interesting deals, and a lot to talk about on the podcast this week. We're going to chat about a specific, really interesting SPAC deal and some underlying drivers of this transaction. Specifically, this one is Gig Capital 2. They abandoned their deal for Boulder to instead combine with UpHealth. Why the change of heart on this deal? We're going to talk about the dynamics as it was approaching a potential redemption date. Some M&A news: Salesforce and talks to acquire Slack for more than $20 billion. What's the strategic rationale behind this rumored deal that could be announced next week? And lastly, we're going to chat about rapper Jay-Z struck a cannabis deal with the largest Canadian SPAC out there, Subversive Capital Acquisition. Why is Hova going public? But Mike, let's start out with this Gig Capital 2 deal, which I find super interesting for a number of reasons. To summarize this situation, Blank Check acquisition company Gig Capital 2 announced that it's combining with two private companies. One is UpHealth, one of the largest national digital healthcare providers. The second, Cloudbreak Health, a telemedicine and video medical interpretation solutions provider, in a deal that will represent a $1.35 billion pro forma enterprise value once this deal is complete. It's the latest in a string of M&A SPAC deals to capitalize on the growth of telemedicine, really spurred by the COVID-19 pandemic. We've seen health firms such as Hims, telemedicine company SOC Telemed, both of those recently struck going public transactions with blank check companies. So it's just the continuation of this trend that we're seeing in SPAC space. Obviously, the electric vehicle transactions are super hot, but we are seeing a decent amount of interest in healthcare technology deals. What I found really interesting about this transaction, it's notable because Gig Capital 2, the SPAC, they abandoned a previously signed letter of intent for a transaction with Boulder Industries, which was a manufacturer of sustainable industrial products, because shareholders found that merger underwhelming. And that's important for a number of reasons. Number one, I want investors to note that Gig Capital 2's deal for Boulder was only an LOI, a letter of intent. Now I say, you know, I wouldn't trust or do anything with a letter of intent. It's basically just a piece of paper that you can light on fire. So it's certainly not a definitive agreement. A deal isn't done or, you know, set in stone prior to closing, unless it's a definitive agreement. So I always take a letter of intent with a grain of salt, because often those tend to fall apart, as it did in this one. And one of the main drivers of that, my theory, is that an important date was coming up for Gig Capital 2. So they initially IPO'd in June 2019, and their termination date was coming up next month. And they weren't going to get a deal done by termination date. So what they need to do in that scenario, they need to stage a shareholder vote in order to extend the deadline. And as they have that vote, they need to offer shareholders the option to redeem their shares for the trust value or the net asset value, which is currently $10.10. Now, after they announced the Boulder transaction, Gig Capital 2's shares were consistently below $10.10. And what that indicates is that most of the holders, like us and other hedge funds, were going to redeem at the December 3rd vote, or specifically two business days prior to that. I believe the election deadline was on Monday. So it's a fairly simple calculation. You look at the share price of Gig Capital 2. If it's trading below $10.10, you redeem it. If it's trading above $10.10, then you don't. Now, with the Boulder Industries deal, it was trading below $10.10. They could read the tea leaves. They knew they'd lose a large chunk of their $174 million in trust due to the redemption. So they did something drastic, abandoned the Boulder deal, instead went with this transaction for both UpHealth and Cloudbreak. I mean, not a huge winner. Gig Capital 2 shares were up 1.6% on news of these two deals. However, it is important because the stock's now trading at 10.25 per share, which is greater than 10.10. So most hedge funds will end up staying with the stock because, I mean, it is above net asset value. So if they were going to redeem, then they'd rather just sell the shares here because you're going to get 1.5% more. So that's important. But otherwise, I just find it kind of funny how they're constantly just switching deals and really looking for flavor of the day, of which telemedicine certainly are one of the myriad of flavors that investors seem attracted to these days. Mike, what are your thoughts on this interesting SPAC maneuver?
I mean, you look no further than just the simple incentives, right? As you mentioned, there's an upcoming deal. If they aren't able to eventually find a deal and do have to liquidate the trust completely, their capital at risk is completely gone.
And that is $4.9 million they put it into units that if they have to terminate, that goes out the door, as does their promote. So certainly they're well incentivized to get a deal done.
Exactly. And so I don't mean that in the sense that there's anything wrong, that they're responding to the incentive. It's just that investors just need to understand the incentive structures that are in place for sponsors and deal within that system. Now, they'll basically take this as a pop. It is trading as at a premium. It's not an outstanding SPAC pop like some that we've seen in the past. But I guess an interesting case study is to look at the original Gig Capital, because this is the second iteration from the SPAC sponsor group. And they actually IPO'd back in December of 2017 with a little less frothy SPAC markets. But then they announced their transaction with Calera, then closed in November of 2019. And throughout that time, it kind of traded at a similar premium to where Gig Capital 2 is currently. But if you look at the post-SPAC entity, Calera has had some pretty crazy volatility. It has been a pretty interesting time for them in their space. And they are an AI-driven chatbot service, basically, is what they do. But they have kind of steadily traded down to under $4 in
Ouch.
June, but has now bounced back to about $9.40 as of today's close, which is just an absolute whipsaw. And not really, if you look at the chart, it's not really a COVID whipsaw if you look at the timing of the bounce back and the decline. But anyway, like just an example of once you do get past the time where you have the ability to redeem as a shareholder, these stocks do become incredibly volatile.
Yeah, it's
so
a different asset class
to look out for. Yeah. Absolutely. But anyway, it is a little bit of a pop. It'll allow arbitragers to sell at a profit if they choose to do so.
I think one other interesting aspect that investors should note about this Gig Capital 2 deal is this one actually gave up a full warrant per unit on IPO. And that's notable because the common shares are trading at 10.25, you know, 2.5% uptick since the IPO. However, the warrants are trading above a dollar, $1.09. So that is total unit value of around $11.35. So that's a significant return, a double-digit return after the IPO on a deal that isn't really getting, you know, a ton of praise from investors. So it's certainly important to note, don't just pay attention to the shares or just the warrants, but also the combined unit basis when judging SPAC economics. So we'll monitor this one. First disclosure, we are long shares of Gig Capital 2 and the Accelerate Arbitrage Fund. Obviously bought those quite a while back when they're trading at a nice discount to their net asset value. Wanted to get into some M&A news. Actually, more like an M&A rumor. We have Dow Jones Industrial Average member Salesforce reportedly in talks to acquire messaging app Slack for more than $20 billion in a bid to expand its product footprint and effectively compete against Microsoft. And when I think about this, it's like, damn, you know, what could have been from AOL Messenger or ICQ or BlackBerry Messenger. Like, all these companies were basically Slack before Slack, right? Like, how good was BlackBerry Messenger? And they completely just screwed that entire thing up, which is a shame. But nonetheless, Slack, super popular these days. Real simple chat client that many, many people use. Now, this deal, if completed, would represent one of the largest software acquisitions in history, comparable to IBM's $34 billion acquisition of Red Hat in 2019, Microsoft's $27 billion takeover of LinkedIn 4 years ago, Facebook's $19 billion deal for WhatsApp 6 years ago. But that's really par for the course for Salesforce. They're a very acquisitive company. For example, they acquired MuleSoft for $6.5 billion in 2018. And at that time, that was the company's biggest deal ever. And then last year, they spent $15.3 billion in a deal to acquire Tableau, the data visualization company. Obviously, Slack shareholders loving this. Shares rallied nearly 45% this week on the news. Salesforce shareholders not too happy, down about 6% this week. As I indicated, this is speculative, just a rumor at this point, as reported by the Wall Street Journal. And if a deal is announced, I mean, it could be announced in the coming days. Mike, what do you think of this one? Think we'll see it official?
Yeah, I think the day to watch for here would be next Tuesday. And that's the day to watch because that's when Salesforce is reporting their Q3 results. And that sometimes can be a common time for companies to announce acquisitions, as they'll already be doing a call and whatnot. But really with Slack, I mean, their product has really evolved in the sense that they started out with just a very simple and good, and I'm using simple in a very complimentary sense, is that they started off with a communications platform, simple chat, but have now moved into really trying to embed into businesses' workflow. They have partnerships with Dropbox, Salesforce as well. And then really like looking to be, if you compare Slack to Microsoft Teams, as I'm sure many of our listeners are familiar with the Microsoft Teams app, is Microsoft Teams really is just for within your own company chat, within your intercompany chat. Whereas Slack, you can chat with, have different channels amongst many different companies. It's a wider ecosystem. So interesting from that sense. When you look at the dynamics right now between Salesforce and Microsoft, and it's very clear that Salesforce is kind of coming after Microsoft, really trying to take a bite out of more of the Microsoft service lines. You look back to 2016 when Microsoft outbid Salesforce for LinkedIn. This could be a little bit of revenge that they're looking at Slack. Both companies have had interest in Slack in the past, and is this a way for them, given all the antitrust worry with Microsoft, that they're able to get this acquisition without a real other second bidder, another competing bidder? Because other than Microsoft, Julian, do you see anybody else that would be a potential another potential bidder?
I mean, $20 billion or more, that's a fairly sizable chunk of cash that not too many can afford. And the strategic nature, I don't think Slack would fit all that well into many other potential competitors of that size. So
perhaps Zoom in a all paper deal.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to go against Salesforce unless you're a giant like Microsoft. So I'm skeptical, but you never know. This is M&A and anything can happen. What is interesting that I wanted to comment on this file is how Slack developed, because it was initially developed as part of a video game. And that video game ended up being a failure, but they pivoted from making this video game to trying to further develop this chat app, which was...
They pivoted twice, too. They actually failed twice on the video game, which is crazy.
Yeah, and so now they're looking at a $20 billion exit, so certainly shows the value of perseverance and just trying your best. So that's an interesting one. I suspect we'll see an official announcement by next week. And once that comes, we can further dig into it if it does become a definitive agreement. Lastly, I want to chat about one of the funnest deals I've seen in a while. We got 99 Problems, but Going Public Ain't One, as rapper Jay-Z struck a deal with Canadian SPAC Subversive Capital Acquisition Corp on a cannabis and hemp venture. What's happening here is that Subversive Capital, the largest cannabis SPAC in history, and I believe the largest Canadian blank check company, of which there are only about nine, they announced they've entered into definitive agreements with Jay-Z, Sean Carter, entertainment powerhouse Roc Nation, a company called Caliva, California's most trusted cannabis brand and a leading direct-to-consumer platform, and Left Coast Ventures, a predominant cannabis and hemp company with low-cost manufacturing and a diversified portfolio of brands. They're putting these all together, kind of a mishmash, but they're going to form a company called The Parent Company, TPCO Holding Corp. So basically, Subversive Capital is merging with Private Co's Caliva and Left Coast Ventures, bringing Jay-Z on. They're doing these two deals for $282.9 million and $142.2 million for Caliva and Left Coast, respectively, in a transaction that will create California's largest cannabis firm. Jay-Z is joining the company as chief visionary officer to guide brand strategy. And if we want to look at the price action on this one, cannabis obviously has been a very tough space ever since it peaked and then crashed in 2018. Investors have kind of lost interest and have seen a bit of a bounce, but nothing too crazy. Market was lukewarm on this one. Subversive Capital shares rose 1.4% this week on news of the deal. Mike, what do you think? Think it'll be successful?
It's certainly interesting and entertaining. I mean, it's a very complex transaction, right, which usually in the SPAC world typically gets me a little bit squeamish about the prospects of it. I feel like complexity can be in these sorts of deals can be kind of a bad thing. But yeah, I mean, Jay-Z will be the brand. They have interesting involvement in their private placement with Rihanna, Yo Gotti, Meek Mill. That's pretty cool. But I mean, the remaining company, like, they're pursuing a really aggressive roll-up strategy in the California cannabis market. And I mean, roll-up strategies do carry a significant amount of execution risk. So yeah. I have no doubt in terms of their branding, it seems like they'll certainly have some interesting branding, but executing a roll-up strategy is fairly difficult to do well and not to get too aggressive and just be overpaying for companies. And so that'll be the interesting thing to follow is just how they deal with that. But the one thing in particular is you had mentioned, Julian, that this was one of the largest SPACs in terms of their cash and trust. So they will have a very healthy balance sheet to pursue this strategy with the additional, 37 million dollars pipe as well. They'll have well over $500 million, assuming that the stock price keeps up, to pursue this.
So yeah, we'll see where the price does end up, because they are at risk for redemptions given that shares didn't rally. I mean, you look at the cannabis sector, and it's no surprise that most U.S. SPACs with cannabis mandates have switched to completely different industries like electric vehicles, because the cannabis sector has just been so dead that it seems like not even Jehovah can resurrect it. But we'll monitor this one, see how it goes. In terms of why Jay-Z's doing it, I believe he'll receive about 5 million shares on the deal, which are worth about $50 million. So not bad work if you can get it. Congrats on Jay-Z on that one. Looks like it could work out well for him. That about wraps it up for us on episode 101 of the Absolute Return podcast. If you enjoyed it, always check out more at absolutereturnpodcast.com. Definitely leave us a review on Apple and the other podcast platforms. Follow us on Twitter. Mike, where can they find you?
At @M_Kessler.
You can find my tweet handle at Julian Klimochko. We wish you all the best in your investing, and we'll chat with you soon. Cheers.
Thanks for tuning in to the Absolute Return Podcast. This episode was brought to you by Accelerate Financial Technologies. Accelerate, because performance matters. Find out more at AccelerateShares.com. The views expressed in this podcast are the personal views of the participants and do not reflect the views of Accelerate. No aspect of this podcast constitutes investment, legal, or tax advice. Opinions expressed in this podcast should not be viewed as a recommendation or solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any securities or investment strategies. The information and opinions in this podcast are based on current market conditions and may fluctuate and change in the future. No representation or warranty, expressed or implied, is made on behalf of Accelerate as to the accuracy or completeness of the information contained in this podcast. Accelerate does not accept any liability for any direct, indirect, or consequential loss or damage suffered by any person as a result of relying on all or any part of this podcast, and any liability is expressly disclaimed.